Hey everyone, how are ye? It's me again. And I'm back with another one of these talks that are kind of, I don't know, you could call them spiritual, but I'm not really into that spirituality stuff that much. It might sound like I am, but I'm not. Not at all. I like to strip things down to the bare bones, you know, so I've done a lot of reading and a lot of listening, a lot of speaking to teachers and all that. And what I get is, as I said, I just strip things down. I can just, I don't know, wade through the weeds, whatever you want to call it, through the jargon and all that, and try to express something that's more simple, hopefully. So today I want to talk about time. And what I mean is past and future. You know, the future causes anxiety. Like, you're sitting right now, right, in the present moment, the so-called present moment. And if you're feeling anxious, chances are you're worried about what's going to happen in the future. You know, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to the planet? It can be anything. Have I got enough of this, enough of that? Now, when I talk like this, I know that there are people with anxiety disorders, and I know that there are people with traumas and stuff that need to be worked through with therapists and that as well, you know. So I'm not in any way saying that I'm a replacement for anything like that. But I think you can go after the stuff that is not as embodied, because trauma is embodied. You know, I've experienced with that, and I know it is embodied. And some of the anxiety disorders as well are embodied. But I don't think there's any harm in lessening them. You know, you still work with your doctor. You still take the medications you need to take. You still read what you need to do. You still do your exercise. You still eat as healthily as you can. All that. So what I'm saying here is kind of just to maybe add something to your arsenal, maybe. Some things that I've learned along the way that might resonate with people and it might not. So anyway, with time, all right? So we'll take the past first, yeah? And then we'll go to the future. So the past, all right? When you think about it, right, you've never ever visited the past, ever. And you actually can't, right? You can't physically go back to the past. You can't go back to the start of this audio, you know, when you were listening to it. You actually can't. So it's not real in that sense, you know, it's not reality. Like the way you're sitting, or else you're, whatever you're doing, you might be listening to this in headphones, you might be in a gym, wherever you are, it's real. You know, you can feel your body is real. Like your eyesight, your hearing, you know, you feel hair, you know what I mean? You have that feeling, like everybody has that feeling, that they're hair. And that's actually one of the ways that you can wade through the weeds of the spiritual jargon, is that you can really make it simple. Like, the fact is that you're hair and you feel like you're hair. But anyway, the past you can't get back to physically, you can't. And we haven't got time machines. Not yet, anyway. But even if we got a time machine, right, and you went back, you'd be still in this present moment going back to the past. You know what I mean? You can't escape it. Like, it gets a bit confusing, I know. So when you think of the past, something that's bothering you lately, now again, I'm not saying to go back to any traumas or anything like that, because if you do suffer from that, it's between you and your therapist or whoever is helping you, or you know. But there could be some kind of things that aren't as heavy. You might have said something that you apparently shouldn't have said. You know, there might have been an event that you're embarrassed about, and that it kind of replays in your mind, you ruminate on it, you know. You know, the word ruminate, it comes from cows chewing the cud, they chew over and over again. So when we ruminate as humans, we think of the past and we keep regurgitating it, and it keeps kind of, you know, repeating and repeating, and it wears us down. I think everybody has an experience of that, like. So anyway, if you think back to something that happened recently. It could have been, I don't know, somewhere where you embarrassed yourself, where you think you embarrassed yourself. But if you think back to that, okay, it's a memory, right? That's all it is. It's a memory. It's just a memory. Now, as I said earlier, more traumatic memories will hold more of an energetic charge in the body. You know, they're embodied, but these type of memories can be just memories that replay. There's not that much of a charge. There might be a little bit of a charge, you know, like I'm a little bit embarrassed or I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, if you can look at that, if you can look at that memory, just like the memory of having breakfast this morning, or maybe, I don't know, a holiday last year that you were enjoying, it's just memory, you know what I mean? So you can kind of just put it into that category. Yeah, this thing happened, it was embarrassing, but it's just a memory. And then eventually what happens is the memory might come back, and it might come back again, but it loses its charge, as I said. It loses its grip. And so it just becomes like a mind movie. It'll pass your mind, it'll fly by. Because when I get into this, what we are at our core is awareness. And what awareness is it's like as I said earlier, you're present, you're here, you're real, you know, you're sitting here listening to me. Your ears, like you can hear me. You can see around the room you're in, all that. So that's the beautiful thing about life, actually, that you know, you can actually see that the past is sort of, it has like a dream quality. And you know that memory is very sketchy anyway. You know, they've done studies on memory, and I remember watching one show on YouTube. I think it was an Oprah Winfrey show, where they had a classroom of students, and they had a guy just like randomly run into the class and kind of attack the students and run back out. And then they asked the students, and I think you might be able to still find this on YouTube, probably will. And they asked all the students to describe the guy who wasn't wearing any ski mask or anything like that. And everybody described him differently. Height, race, everything. Everything. Like, it was just mad. It was just like nobody actually, no, fair enough, they were traumatized, but still, like, scientists have proved that, like, our memories are very sketchy. You know, they're kind of, I don't know, they're kind of like, as I said, little movies that don't link up properly sometimes. And you can have two different people that saw the same event and, you know, come up with completely different stories and different viewpoints as well. Plus, people living in, we all live in our own reality tunnel. You know, we all see reality in our own way. Everybody on the planet has their own unique reality, which is extra cool when you really think about it. So yeah, so you can view the past like that. You can view the past as a movie, and it'll kind of lose its charge. Now, this does free up a lot of energy in your mind, right? And I know this from experience, like it frees up a lot of it's like an awakeness. It's like you feel more awake because you know, we apparently experience up to 40,000 thoughts a day, which is crazy when you think about it. Like, imagine all the humans around the planet just like boom, 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 being bombarded with thoughts. So when you start like separating yourself a little bit from that, it frees up a lot more. You can imagine having a day where you're not thinking back at, oh, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have said that, this happened, this is, you know, if you can kind of take that out of your life, you do feel like you've a lot more life in you. You know, you can feel very young. You can feel very young and vibrant. But it's sort of like a practice, and but it's not at the same time. I mean, you don't have to sit in a corner meditating, looking at a wall. As far as I'm concerned, you don't. You know, you really don't. You can just be aware of this. And again, like if it's too heavy, you go about, you know, you go through certain channels that are more equipped to help you. Anyway, so we go to the future, right? And so the future hasn't happened. And when the future comes, it comes as this again, the present moment. The future can never ever happen. And you really have to sit in that, and you can think about You have never seen the future. You know what I mean? The past is a memory, and the future just doesn't happen because this is the future, okay? Now, this is the future, and this is the future. So the past is always falling away, and the future is always now. And if you take that in, you can get very, very relaxed as well, because it just takes an awful lot of anxiety and worry away from you. It really does. So it's like you're here, and you have to do the tasks that are in front of you. Like, you know yourself, if you're having a coffee in your coffee shop, and you might be writing an assignment, or you might be playing an instrument or whatever, and you get lost in that. Like, you come away from the past and the future, and you come into a flow state is what it's called. And all of this as well is backed by science, This is the beautiful thing about this. I mean, you've Buddhist monks and Indian gurus saying stuff like this for years. It's just that sometimes some of it got too much, too flowery, and a lot of that too had, I think, like personally, I think a lot of it had to do with New Age movement coming in. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's just more poetical. You see, there's just more words that can get more confusing and more poetical. But like scientists have hooked Tibetan monks up to machines and watched their brains change because of meditation. You can see them on YouTube as well, drying wet towels on their bodies, like they're able to control the temperatures of their body and that. So it's actual fact, Mindfulness actually affects the brain. It wakes up parts of the brain. It relaxes the body. It is a thing. It's a real thing. So, but with the mindfulness, like, I mean, I think one thing about mindfulness is that there's a sense of trying to be present or trying to be in the here and now all the time. And when you really get into it, and when you really look into it, there's no need to do that either. There's no need to try to be present. Because if you just sit here with me now for, say, like 10 seconds, just 10 seconds. What it is it's a relaxation into where you already are, So you're not going forward, you're just dropping back. And another beautiful thing about this is that there's no hierarchy, There's no one better than you, there's no one knows more than you. There's no one, it's just like when it comes to these matters, it is just not a thing. No one knows more than you. No one can really teach you anything. They can point you in the way. They can say, if you do this, this will happen, and you might notice things in that. But yeah, like think of it when you go to a concert, right? When you're at a gig or whatever, you're in that moment. That's where you feel so good. That's where your body is alive. That's where you feel like you're there. You're present. The music is full. People are dancing. The music is everywhere. Your body is, you feel excited. It's like even when people go on different rides, like in Disney and stuff, that's where they do it. Like the skydiving's another one. You're present, you're really yourself. So yeah, but you don't need to jump out of planes, and you don't need to do all that stuff. You can just do as I said there earlier, you can just drop back. You can just drop back into yourself, and the thing is, like, when you do that, there's a certain peace around you, and it's everywhere. It really is. When you just drop back, you just fall back, and there it is. Every time. I was reading a Rumi quote. Very, very Irish. But I was reading one. I can't remember what way it went, but the gist of it was like, "Come home, come home, come home. It's always there. Come home." And that is true. Every time you drop back, it's there. There's no need for anything else. Like, it's just dropping back in. And as I spoke about last time, you can drop down into your body as well if your mind is very, very active. You can drop down into your body and feel the peace that way. And then you come to the present moment, which is, it's very interesting because it is a concept, you know. I remember one of the first times I heard about the present moment, I was young, like I was a kid. And the first thought that entered my mind was, where is this present moment? And it took me a long time to find out that I was right. As a child, I knew there was no such thing as the present moment. Because if there's a present moment, like, all right, this is the present moment. And where has it gone now? Oh, I spoke. So it's gone now. Oh, there is. And it's gone now. You know what I mean? It's constantly falling away. And that might seem a bit confusing, but when you really grok that, when you get it in, like when you feel that internally, when you really know that, then it gets even more relaxing. It gets really relaxing because you don't have to find anything. So you don't have to worry about the past. Don't have to worry about the future. And you don't have to find the present moment. Yeah. So, and like, even, you know, little bits of this, little bits of it can free up. Every time you drop back into that, when you come back, you'll come back a little more free. Every time. You don't have to go forward into something to come back to be free. You drop back into something, and if you come back, you'll be free. You'll be more free. You know what I mean? So it's like you're tasting something, and you bring it back then, and it's like it washes through your body. That's what happens, really. And you can find like muscular pain in your shoulders, or tension in your shoulders, or pains in your chest, like heart, like not like chest pain, like physical, but there might be hurt there, you know. Some people feel hurt. I used to feel a lot of that myself, like in my heart area. I'd feel a kind of a loneliness, and I know that's resonating with people now as I'm saying that, like you can feel that. And another thing about that is, if you can, and again with the caveat of, like, you know, if you can't, you can't, and that's it, don't take my advice, like, but if you can, if you're a person that feels that you can feel that pain, that's where, like, when you put your attention in there and you don't try to manipulate anything, you just sit with your pain. And if you can sit with your pain and just, like, be, it's almost like an observer, you know, you're just like sitting there and you're watching it, and it'll come and it'll go, because everything comes and goes. I mean, one thing that is certain about this world is that everything is impermanent. This again is science, like, everything is impermanent. The only thing that is not impermanent is what is ever inside you that knows there's no impermanence. We don't know what that is, but it has to be there, otherwise you wouldn't know what change was. Like, if, yeah, you just wouldn't know what change is or was or whatever. So yeah, so that's my little talk in time. And I hope it's not too confusing. Because, like, I'm, as I said, I'm not into too much jargon around this stuff. Not at all. And I don't believe in hierarchy. I don't believe in authority. I don't believe in anything like that. Because I know in my heart that people have, like all of us, think about it, right? We came out of the universe, right? Some people think we were born into the world, but we actually came out of the world. So you are part of the world. So everyone is part of the world. Also, things go wrong for certain people along the way. You know, things happen. There's lots of situations that can happen. There's so much variables that can change a person's consciousness, that can veer them off in a direction, you know, where they were born, you know, disadvantages, all that stuff can happen. But even at that, like, people, you will see that a lot of, a lot of people that suffer seem to find happiness. And that has happened down through the ages. It has happened. You can read about it. It's a very common thing that happens. And there's one lady you could read about, actually. Her name is Byron Katie. And if you read about her story, It's just unbelievable because it shows you how much suffering this woman went through. It was unbearable suffering, and in a split second, her suffering left her. And it's because she saw the world in reverse. Because what we're looking at actually in the world, everything is backwards. And they're not going to get into that now. Maybe some other time. Where everything you look at is backwards. And that's what happened to her. Like, so everything you see is and is not. If it is, it is not as well at the same time. And that's what happened to her. Now she helps so many people around the world. I actually used her methods as well for a long, long time. Like, it must have been a year maybe of investigating how I judged people and, all that kind of stuff. I went after my ego with a big time, and it was a very interesting experience. And a lot of it too was physical, it was like real physical pain when I challenged my beliefs about people. And eventually I came to see that anything I said about someone or anything I do say about someone is me being reflected back. That again, that's another story. And it's not as spiritual as you might think either, So anyway, yeah, that's my talk. I think I said it already. So it's just about time, and it's worth investigating if you want to be free from things that you feel that are just dragging you down a bit, And freeing up even a little bit of that space, even a little bit of that. Every time you free a bit of that, I promise you will feel more energetic. You'll feel more alive, and eventually you'll come into like a feeling of aliveness. You'll come into a feeling of, whoa, I'm bright and alive. That's what you bump into. Nothing special. You just bump into like, oh, I feel bright and alive. So I hope you enjoy this, and I might talk about something else sometime as well. Just to change things up a bit as well on the channel. So, and it's nice to relax too. It's nice to relax, especially with all the craziness that's going on at the moment. I think my belly rumbled there, which was random. So I'll catch you all later, okay? Slán. And remember, there's no such thing.